All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of A Gaming Podcast, episode 27. Got a good crew here with you. Caboose, welcome back. How are you doing, sir?
Good to be back. Good to be back. Hyped to be talking about some of the things that we have here today. Yeah. But some of the things I'm not so hyped to talk about. We're going to do some ranting today, I feel like.
I'm in for that.
Yeah.
We'll see about that. That's for sure. Sammy, how are you doing? Welcome back as well.
Thank you. I'm doing good. I'm glad to be back. I've been missing being on the podcast last couple of weeks. So glad to sit here, listen to you guys.
Was last week
yell.
The car show or yell?
We were doing a lot of yelling. Yeah. 2 weeks ago was the car show. And then last week I was just like working until 10 p.m. So couldn't join in.
Jesus Christ. Wow. That's crazy. Absolutely nuts. Steve Saylor, how are you doing, sir?
Doing all right, yeah. Just been working away as best I can, and glad to be here. Thanks very much for having me.
Absolutely. And then it's just ordinary day for Riley. You know,
nothing. It's a normal. Yeah,
just normal. It's a regular day. Happy birthday, yeah, Riley. Hope you're having a great day. Got the whole birthday cut and everything. So.
I know. Shave. Yeah, I got a new look just for the B day. Now that I'm really old now, so I had to change it up.
Oh, that's how it worked. Yeah, no, it wasn't for us at all. You know, it wasn't for the return of Caboose and Sammy. You know,
it was a little bit for Marcel. I got to be honest, a little bit for Marcel.
Oh, just for Marcel now.
Just for Marcel. Hey, you know, all of a sudden, I got nothing to complain about. I'm good. So.
Wow. Apparently, we're no better than the bugs that we try to kill in Helldivers 2, Aaron.
Come on, you gotta let me off the hook, guys. It's my birthday.
Fair enough. But just wait, next episode. So we're gonna kick it off with the Xbox partner preview. I guess March recap, which I don't. For me, I caught it. It kind of seemed like a little surprise when they announced this because we all thought, "Oh, ready until June when the next announcements are coming out." But then all of a sudden they're like, "Nope, here's some games coming out." And I guess we just go through the list here very quickly, which is Final Fantasy 14 online is coming to March 21st. I honestly thought that game was already out already, but nope, there it is. Kunitsu Gami, which is like a Omnimishu style of like really colorful style of game coming out from Capcom, which I honestly thought they're gonna just reannounce Dragon Dogma once again when they said, "Oh, something from Capcom," but I was a little surprised to see that. Sinking City 2, I forgot the city sunk the first time, to be honest with you with that one. Persona 3 Reloaded expansion. This game just came out, and apparently this is like a spoiler. And they're like, "All right, well, we know the game came out a couple weeks ago, but here's this, which is Wave 3," which, okay, you want to start complaining? I want to complain about this already, because this is Wave 3 coming out in September. Wave 1 and 2 is just soundtracks. Why even doing waves? Just be like, here's an update. Why is this a part of an expansion pass? But you're paying money. for just for music, really?
That's what these kind of games provide. Like, there's a
just for music.
Having a soundtrack on a game is big in Japan, man. Have you not played a Nintendo game?
I've played many Nintendo games, but this is not a Wave 1 and 2, 3 pack. Like, I'm like, compared to Xenoblade. Xenoblade at least gives you extra characters. Yes, add music and everything onto it as well. But you get get some actual like moving content besides the music. And then Wave 3 is like, okay, and here's like, you know, give us time, here's the expansion story, here's Wave 3. I don't want like, here's two tracks, here's another two tracks, we'll see you in September, and give us money though for these two tracks though. It's you know what, I don't know, but anyway,
listen, as long as people are gonna pay them, they're gonna keep doing that.
Yeah, true.
I don't know, this is like a Sega move, because this is like the whole New Game Plus that they made people pay for with the Like a Dragon series as well. So I don't know, man.
Why are you complaining? You're getting this on Game Pass.
You don't get the wave. You don't get the expansion pass. You had to pay for it.
You get the game on Game Pass. So what? You pay, yeah, like, you pay a little extra for the expansion pass. If you like the game, you can play it all the way through.
Okay.
Or you want to support?
What if they bust this out for $40? Are you gonna be happy with that? Just for four tracks?
If I played over 100 hours of games, yeah, probably.
All right. They got to you, didn't they, Steve? All right.
They got him. I have not played a Persona game in my life.
Not everybody.
I do know friends that basically swear by this series, especially even by the P3 Reload game, specifically the remake. And, you know, hey, I'm all like it's the fact that it's on Game Pass and I can play this kind of game and I can also sink in 70 plus hours into the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's well worth the price of just Game Pass alone. And if you like the game and you want to be able to get more stuff, plus technically, yes, you're going to get a DLC near the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Why not get a little bit of a bonus expansion pass?
I think
Destiny player is showing like expansion after expansion after expansion, $60. Here,
$60
there. It's fine.
Well, if it's $60, okay. Well, I don't know.
I have to think
about it. I may wait until September when the actual, you know, like epilogue comes out. Maybe.
Like, it's funny because
go ahead.
I get the music. Music's such a big part of Persona.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes. I get that. But it's not like it's Rock Band. Like,
yeah. It's just how this is presented. That's what I'm bothered by. That's what I'm just saying. So,
gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, you all act like you've never played a Japanese game before. Like, having soundtracks built into the game.
Been doing it our whole lives. What do you mean? Mario's Japanese.
Like, there are so many games like that have, like, you know, the soundtracks. You can just listen to the music that on its own. Like, this isn't new.
Listen here. I want what Tekken has done. Tekken has given me all the goddamn music. You can swap it in all you want. And it's all for free. All right? That's what I want. Yes.
I need that in MK.
Exactly.
I need Mortal Kombat in general, honestly, to step up their music game.
Like, the potential is like rich there too. They definitely could do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, when you look at games like Tekken or Street Fighter, I mean, especially Tekken 8, it's just like you can just sit there at the main menu for like 10 minutes, just like jamming. You know, I feel like we don't have that for Mortal Kombat.
You literally can swap.
They've got 30 years of history too that they can be able to type into.
Yeah, you can swap any part of that game. If you want like a new character select theme song, I'm like, I wish I had Tekken 5 theme song. You can swap that in you want anytime. Like it's
dope mode too. What if you could play like current Mortal Kombat 1 like basically with all the modern controls, all the characters and everything that like the cameos and all that stuff, but in like old school Mortal Kombat, like the original. Like 8-bit kind of like 16-bit like look
real life people.
I would love that.
That would be imagine seeing like Peacemaker in sort of like an 8-bit kind of like or 16-bit. I don't know whatever what kind of bit it was, but it was like in that kind of style. And they it just went with stage. The soundtrack being in that.
They had a stage in MK11 where it had like a projector in the background that would project classic like MK1 original Mortal Kombat 1 and Mortal Kombat 2 stages, and it was honestly really sweet. And I buy into your idea, but like imagine we have the 3D Mortal Kombat 1 as we know it, but with the 8-bit stages, you know, just the stages looking the way that they do.
Now we're talking.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
That'd be dope.
There we go.
Yeah.
Stalker series is now coming to the consoles for the first time. The trilogy is coming out. Go ahead. Yeah.
I would say it's now like backwards compatible. Like it basically like it's available for like Xbox One and kind of like a package of the Stalker trilogy.
There you go.
Yeah, and that was that's available today. That was the Shadow Drop for today. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Unknown Nine
to Stalker 2.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Exactly. Unknown Nine Awakening. Game from Bandai. I honestly thought it was Assassin's Creed when I first saw this.
Me too. It was Assassin's Creed
mixed with that Banishers game. That we got.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I was kind of digging it. Like especially near the end when they were showing the gameplay of her like pausing time and kind of like going up against each of the enemies and like backfiring their gun or whatever. I was like, actually, kind of that's pretty cool. I kind of want to play that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Tales of Kenzera Ozal, which is I can't remember his name. I don't know if you know his name, Steve, but I know he's part of the Critical Role.
I only know him as Abu because that's how he introduced himself to me.
Yeah, yeah exactly.
But Critical Role, are they a part publisher for that?
I believe
they're part supporter, so they had financial like help making the game. But I think it's also technically an EA Originals.
Yes, it is. Oh, yeah. Damn. Yeah. Surgeon Studios, Abu Bekar Salim, that's his name.
Yes.
who does the voice acting in the, in this game as well, kind of plays like
Prince of Persia from Assassin's Creed Origins.
Kind of plays like a Prince of Persia game as well. When there's a demo available if you want to still try it out. That comes out fairly soon as well. And then there's literally like Roblox literally just copied Dead by Daylight because it is added Chucky in the game. So, and then I'm like, is this just Dead by Daylight, just Roblox for it?
I was scrolling the wire just to get like the rundown of what went down during the partner direct, and I see like a little thumbnail for Chucky. I'm like, whoa, are they doing like a Chucky game or something like that? And then I hit play and I'm like, wait, this is Roblox? but you know what? Honestly, it is kind of crazy because like Roblox is now like, it's not necessarily a game. It's kind of like a publisher almost.
It's basically like what Fortnite is now, where you can basically open up Fortnite and get like Fortnite, like Fortnite Lego or whatever. But Roblox is like that.
Yeah. Which is awesome. I mean, I'm sure there's an audience for that. It looks fun. I don't know if I'll be diving in, but again, I'm sure that there's some people out there who are excited.
I think this might be the first like licensed IP like for a Roblox made game, which is kind of interesting.
I know that's incorrect because I remember seeing that there was a Black Adam promotion.
Never mind then.
And there's a video out there of The Rock saying, "Play Roblox. It's the greatest thing you'll ever see in your life."
Man, I've never played Roblox, but honestly,
you go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, Chucky might have me on board. I might get the game. We'll
Just play Dead by Daylight.
I play that too. At least they have Nick Cage. Dead by Daylight will always have Nick
Cage. That's
true. Roblox, I don't know if they're ever gonna get there.
I was gonna say there's also a Walmart world in Roblox.
Is it really?
I'm getting it.
I take everything I just said all back then.
I know last year there was the McCain fries that they, because I did a promotion for that. So that was my only time playing Roblox.
I think they have a Sonic the Hedgehog crossover as well, now that I think about it.
Okay. Apparently I know nothing about Roblox. That was the first time we've ever seen, like, I know that the Xbox, like the Xbox Roblox partnership is new. I know that.
Yes.
But I think it's the first time that I've seen that in like a showcase, like kind of deal where we're talking about a Roblox game on a showcase like this. So
for sure,
I'll take that as the first time we're seeing it. But okay,
we just spent the last 5 minutes telling you you're wrong, Steve.
Apparently, that's you're really okay. I just needed to come on here to be on the internet today. Yeah. So there fine.
You know,
that is a good point though. I'd say we're core gamers, so like us talking about Roblox now, it's like that was kind of a different avenue to present that information. So
but when it comes to Roblox, I feel like a little bit like, hello there, fellow gamers, like
I just find the industry, they're collaborating with Chucky because, you know, Roblox is obviously geared to for kids and children and everything like that. So and then Chucky's out there murdering kids. That's basically just saying. True. I don't know. So next on the list is Creatures of Ava, which I honestly look like, you know, I thought this was Power World, like Pokemon Snap. Like Power World Snap for a minute here, because I don't know. It's just another, looks like another Pokemon tame creatures type of style of game on top of that. And then
it's cozy.
Another cozy game. And then you know, Monster Chucks, Monster Jam Showdown. It just reminded me of the days seeing those Skydome ads being like, this, you know, come see Gravedigger, you know.
Megalotron.
And then we saw, which by the way, this font here, when I was live streaming, I was like, I don't know what this font is.
What it says.
I was like, what am I looking at here? But eventually the game is called The Altars, made by 11-bit Studio. They made the Invincible, they made the Thormer Gogger game, or I don't know how to pronounce that one, but the one that just recently came out. This one looks pretty interesting because at first I thought it was Caboose's favorite game, Death Stranding, but there's actually gameplay.
I think
you might like this one. You should get this one a try.
Like legit, this, like, this legit is probably gameplay. My favorite out of the bunch.
So you're telling me they decided to make a video game?
Yeah.
So I love this idea because it's like you're on a basically like an alien planet. You're like there's a time travel element, but you also have like different versions of yourself that are like alternates that are running this base, and they have like interpersonal kind of like conflicts and stuff like that. Like there's a whole, and you're like, so it's like kind of like a base management sim, but like what was the tagline? It's like all by myself.
All by myself. Yeah. And then it also has a Fallout style of bunker, but like it's connected to a wheel, and the wheel moves across the land as well. I was like, this is pretty cool and everything, but I was like, what is the name of this game? But like, yeah, it's
got a weird font choice, I'll give you that, but that, like I was listening to the audio described version and that's how I knew what the game was. they said text, nice. The altars. I was like, oh, okay, that's what that says.
I looked at it, I was like, what? AURs? I don't know what that is. So
yeah, this does look pretty interesting. I'm looking at the trailer for it now. It looks pretty cool.
I'm actually like kind of jazzed for that one.
Like you said, it does have those Death Stranding vibes, but
just how the base looked and how he's by himself.
You'll actually enjoy yourself while playing it. Yeah.
Yeah,
Camille is screaming.
I don't think there's any deliveries in this game, so I think you're good. So,
oh, thank God.
Up next is the first Berserker Kazan, which is made by the DNF universe. It's like another Souls game on top of that. So that one's coming out a little bit later. And then Frostpunk 2, which is coming out July 24th. And then finally, Sleight of Hand, which looks pretty interesting. An action-based game.
I love that vibe. I love that sort of time period and vibe.
Yeah. It gave us nothing, though. The graphics look really good. And I'm just like, okay, some kind of magic Sleight of Hand thing is happening here. But like, no idea. Not even a hint of a storyline. I heard or read somewhere that's like about a coven framing you and like you uncovering that.
They kind of alluded to that in the trailer.
Description on the Xbox Wire saying it's an upcoming third-person stealth game of hard-boiled espionage action. We'll have you infiltrate your old witch coven using a cursed deck of cards in the rain-slick city of Taboo, where ritual magic and cursed artifacts set apart those with power from those without. Very interesting, honestly. Like, I really like the concept. But like, it's just a CG trailer, right? Like the beginning.
Yeah, kind of. But it basically like the vibe of it. I kind of dig it.
It has
like a stealth, a noir, like for 1920s sure. kind of
almost like, steampunkish.
And there is like a card sort of vibe to like you. Basically, like, you're throwing down cards and it sort of does these spells and stuff. And I'm cool with waiting for a little bit to see what the gameplay is. I'm hoping that it, you know. I'm cautiously optimistic of it, but
note, when we see CG trailers these days, from what I've noticed, at least for the games that I cover, is a lot of the time it's a reflection of the gameplay.
Yes.
In like from what they're showing in CG. It's just obviously it's really early concept, probably like they're still relatively early on in the development. It's considered they didn't even give us like a release window, they just said to wishlist it.
For Xbox though, like we've never seen
wishlist
for Steam, but we've never seen wishlist for Xbox.
Believe that one was Nuke, and I had like that new tag when they were like going through the recap and everything.
Okay.
Interesting.
So overall, what did we think of the show? I know Riley's
solid.
Yep.
It wasn't like anything like massive, you know, that I don't think anybody would have expected that we were going to get some huge reveals. They kind of just did a big showcase earlier on in January. And then they kind of did like this follow up after all the news about some Xbox games potentially coming to other platforms. Right. So I feel like Xbox has already said like they're going to do another big showcase in the summer.
Yep.
So this was just our little appetizer until our main course later on in the year.
Riley, I know you didn't. This should have been an email.
I mean, there were some cool elements of it. I think that Final Fantasy Online finally coming to Xbox is like, okay, good. But it's also 10 years old at this point. So it's like, great that it's there. Where have you been? Those sorts of things. I see Sega and Square, they're aligning closely with them, which is cool to see. But generally speaking, I wasn't like blown away by it, but I feel like this showcase was not really supposed to really wow people. It's just supposed to be like, here's some news from some of our partners, and then look forward to June. And then we'll have a lot more then. And it's like, great. So I'm ready to wait till June.
I'll add to that and say, like, that's how I felt going into it, because it felt like, okay, there's not really like anything I'm kind of... The title's there. I'm like, the Tales of Kinsera Zao, I've been kind of interested in since they announced at the Game Awards. So I kind of had wanted to be able to take a look more into that. But I had that expectation going in. It's like, okay, yeah, there's not really much to expect. And then when I sat down to watch it, I was actually my expectations were actually, you know, met and then some. I actually kind of enjoyed this, the showcase. Yeah, I didn't have like the big sort of like wow moments of announcements, like, but I don't think that that's kind of what this sort of was for. I mean, if you look back at the previous partner showcase last year, they added, there was more games that they announced in this than they did last time. I feel like that there was more partnerships in this one than last time. So I actually was like, pretty much it was a lot of, like, normally I come away with showcase like this and there's like maybe two or three games that kind of interest me a little bit. I'm like, yeah, okay. But you know, there's probably stuff for other folks, okay, if they're interested or whatever. But for the most part, this is kind of one of the times where about like 60% of the games that they showed, I was like, yeah, I'm kind of in. So I think I gave this like an A plus, or not actually. No, I wouldn't give it an A plus. I'd say like a solid A.
Yeah. I definitely, for me, nothing was like mind blowing, but it was good enough that no matter what kind of like player or gamer you are, they had a little bit for you. So like a little sprinkle here, a little sprinkle there. Yeah. I think it was like a good move of not like over marketing and being like, yeah, this is going to be great. Stay tuned. They just kind of like did it. They're like, this is mid, this is fine. And then we enjoyed it more, I think, because of that.
Yeah. Like, for me, I feel like something like this just shows that this year could be a strong year for Xbox. Cause if they had time to like you said, Steve, there was a lot of games announced, which I was kind of surprised. I thought it was going to be like, it's like a 15-minute thing, done, have a good day, everybody. But like, it was a good, solid 30 minutes of just back-to-back like game announcements. And if there's another show coming up in June, and they're adding on top of that, like, this seems like it's going to be a good year to be an Xbox player, where I know a lot of people are like, it's going to be a great, exciting summer. Hopefully also exciting 2024 as well. But I know with everyone's being like, oh, this, which games are coming from Xbox to PlayStation? Xbox is like, hey, look at all these games coming to our system as well. So it's gonna be interesting for them this year, that's for sure. So let's talk about WB, shall we?
Fuck WB Discovery, whatever the fuck they're calling themselves. I'm just gonna say that off the top.
I'm clipping it.
Fuck them. Fuck them. They ruined entertainment for everything. I am so pissed off at WB.
I mean, they're shutting their rooster teeth now.
They shutter rooster teeth. They're doubling down on games of service, which was the wrong, you know, decision to try like to make based off of what they said was disappointing sales for Suicide Squad compared to Hogwarts Legacy, which is one of the biggest selling games of last year, to the first game to ever actually dethrone Call of Duty in the past 10 years.
Yep.
And they're shuttering like movies because of to get tax money back, like movies that like fans have been wanting and have been looking for. And the guy who's running, also the guy who's running the games division, has been saying all this stuff. He's nothing to do with games. He has no experience in games. He ran Hulu for like 10 years. He has no experience in games whatsoever. And yet he's saying that, oh yeah, we need to double down on mobile, free to play, and games of service, because we need a better revenue instead of like the games of making, like, take a couple years to be able to make and then hopefully being a success. He's not wrong on the surface of it, but making the complete wrong boneheaded decisions that, what, he thinks this is going to turn around by 2025, 26, 27 that he's saying it's going to be? Fuck no. WB.
Yeah,
it's incredibly frustrating. I kind of echo a lot of the sentiments there, especially like reading the quote. Part of it's like taken out of context. Like, a lot of people were thinking that WB was saying we're not doing AAA like single player games anymore. It's not entirely what they're saying. I mean, the actual quote is still not great either. They're not stepping away entirely, it seems, from making, like, you know, a single player experience or just regular like AAA games that like we've come to know from PlayStation per se, but they are definitely investing heavily now into live services. And it's honestly, it's insane because the guys leading the industry right now, it's PlayStation, right? Yeah. And they were in this same exact position, saying these same exact things like a year ago today. And then Jim Ryan now is stepping down as CEO. They've canceled the factions. They've apparently canceled several other live service games. I think they sliced in half the amount of live service games that they wanted to originally make. And that's all because they just kind of, they read the landscape and they were like, this is not feasible. Like this, there's no outcome where this becomes enough of a profit for us for it to make sense. Live service games, I can't get away from the fact that like live service games are here to stay, and there are some really good ones. Destiny, of course, people love the Division franchise, even Helldivers. That's a new one that's come along and has pretty much just been dominating. But you gotta understand that those games work when the development team behind them are they have the vision. They know what they want to do for the game to make it sustainable for several years. And they understand that from the get-go. A game like Suicide Squad, I'd have to imagine that at some point or another, they're like, well, let's make this like a single-player game. And then they were like, actually, why don't we just make it like a co-op story-driven game? And then it kind of warped eventually into, let's do a live service thing. And obviously, it didn't work out. Spectacularly, it's kind of really dropped the ball with less than 1,000 concurrent players on Steam. I don't even know the last time they hit over 1,000. And granted, like Steam might not be everything, but I can't imagine that the console numbers are drastically different. And so when you factor that in comparison to the highest selling game of last year, over, what is it, 24 million copies sold? Yep. Hogwarts Legacy is a single player open world RPG, and it works and it's great. And okay, granted, you can say that part of that success is because of how big of an IP Harry Potter is. You know what else WB owns? A slew of some of the biggest IPs in the world. They have the entire DC Comics library available at their fingertips with, I imagine, a ton of developers who would kill to do a Superman game, to do a Green Lantern game, to do The Flash, to do a Justice League game. And instead, they're saying, no, we're going to make more of that thing that failed spectacularly in Suicide Squad.
It's not even that they're like, essentially, like they're just sort of, we have great IP and, you know, we want to do a great service to that IP and, you know, try to be able to make a great game. No, they're making the decision, we're going to make a live service game around our IP. They're forcing the live service game aspect into their own, like the Harry Potter, DC, whatever. And when you go in with that decision first, it's not gonna work. Like you can maybe get a success like a Destiny once in a while, and Destiny is probably the big successor of a live service games that had maybe didn't have critical acclaim when it launched, but it actually, they said, we have a 10-year plan. We're gonna make this work. We're dedicating to this, and we're gonna make sure we do this. And it took 3 expansions for people to be like, oh, Destiny is actually a pretty good game. Mm-hmm. But what they're doing with WB is they're basically making short-term decisions. Because they're saying, like, because you can tell that because they said, oh, Suicide Squad didn't meet sales expectations. It's been out for only a fucking month. Like, what? Of course it didn't hit sales expectations compared to Hogwarts Legacy. But if they came out and said, you know what, we're dedicating 5 years to this. This is what the content, we're going to be making content for this. We're getting ready for Joker. That's going to be season 1. We're going to add a ton of great content from the year. And well, we got a multi-year plan of this is why you want to stick and play with Suicide Squad. Did they
put out
a
trailer? No. Put out a trailer for like the upcoming seasons of content that are coming to the game. Give the promise that maybe the the Justice League are going to be coming back. At least get some people who are really sour on some of the decisions that were made in the base story of the game.
Yep.
Some hope, a reason to be like, you know what? Maybe I should invest some time into this, because I imagine that Rocksteady, there's some really passionate. I've spoken to and interacted with a lot of people who work at Rocksteady. I know they're incredibly passionate. I know they busted their asses working on Suicide Squad, and they wanted people to love it. It missed the mark. But based on some Easter eggs, some rumors, some speculation, there's talk that maybe the entire post-launch campaign for this game is bringing back the Justice League, bringing them all together, you know, bringing them back, seeing, knowing now that the Justice League we fought in the game are clones. That to me is like, oh, something hopeful, something that like I would love to want to jump back in.
I would stick around and play the game if I knew that that was going to be something coming.
That was
going
to happen. Exactly. I feel like that there wasn't enough in the base game to hint towards that, to give us the promise, to give us just enough, like the put out the hook for us to grab onto and say, hey, we're reeling you in on a ton of content for this next year, and we hope that you'll have fun along this ride. But I feel like WB, it's all very reactionary. They didn't have the initial sales success that they were hoping for. That's it. We're dumping you guys into the trash now. We're going to spend like $10 on marketing from here on out, pretty much. Put out this screenshot and say this is when the Joker's coming. No new trailer. No more of those insider episodes that were fantastic. They give us good behind the scenes looks at the development studio and what they do working on these games, you know, great insight from the developers. No more of that. Like, it's done. That's it. It's over. And now they're going to figure out, how can we do that all over again? Basically, how can we release another live service game that isn't going to do well, that we can inevitably say, oh, you know what? Well, we tried. Let's just go for it again. You know, like
that. They expect the industry to change in 3 years. Like, they think, oh, you know what? We were wrong about live service games. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I really hope that whenever that Wonder Woman game comes, and I'm hoping that it's going to be relatively soon within the next 2 years, I hope that it stays single player, which, according to Warner Brothers, they've responded to rumors of it going into a live service.
See, that was I was worried about, because they said that last year, and then like now with this new sort of like thing, right. I'm wondering if basically because we haven't heard about Wonder Woman in a while, is because they're like, okay, now we got to shoehorn in a live service or microtransactions into the game. And I hope not. I really hope not.
And I hope not, especially because it's from Monolith, and they got destroyed when they tried to overcharge for some microtransactions from Shadow of War. So I hope that that development studio is like, nope, we're just making this a single player experience. We're not going to try and charge people up the ass for stuff. And if it stays a single player experience and it's this great open world and it's just, it's everything we could have hoped for out of a Wonder Woman game that's single player and story driven, I hope that people buy the crap out of it. I hope that it sells like gangbusters, and it makes maybe not necessarily Hogwarts numbers, but it makes like Spider-Man numbers. And WB can once again look at the proof that people want these single player games. It is not a volatile market. Just make good games, man. Yep. People just want single player games. There's something there when it comes to live service, but that should be for your multiverses. You know, that should be for, like, I think they have like some Quidditch game coming out.
They do.
Right. Yeah. Like things like that. Like, let those be where you dip your toes into the live service world, because for those kinds of games, it sort of makes sense. You know, I still don't even think it makes as much sense for Mortal Kombat, but that looks to be the avenue we're going down. Mortal Kombat is essentially becoming a live service game. And so it's really frustrating. It's really frustrating for somebody who loves some of the franchises that WB has available to them. When are we getting a freaking Superman game, man?
Yes.
When's it going to happen, yes. WB?
And
when?
I think as well, I mean, obviously it should go without being like go without mention, but you know, there are definitely idiots on the internet who will think that we're against every, you know, WB studio, and that's not the case.
I'm apparently the biggest WB shill on the planet. Okay?
I was just called a corporate shill today too, so I don't know, I'm in the same boat. But there are so many passionate developers within WB Games. You got NetherRealm, you got WB Montreal, you have Monolith. Rocksteady, you have Monolith. They are all like Avalanche. They are all into making amazing games. There are so many great developers and so many great creatives at each of these studios. And I hate the fact that basically because of some corporate overlord bullshit that we're basically that they have now, they're now forced to basically create this thing that they know, I'm assuming a good chunk of them probably know that this is not going to be great for the players. And they're just going to do this because they're forced to. And it sucks. And, you know, that's partially why we are such an like, as WB calls it, a volatile market, is not because of the market itself is volatile. It's because they're volatile to the market. So it just I just got to say, do not ever harass or get pissed off or, you know, go on a social media tirade at any of the people who work at these studios. They're not the ones making the decisions. They put their heart, their soul, their blood, sweat, and tears into making great games that they hope players will enjoy. Yep. And they deserve the ultimate respect. And they are not responsible for what the bullshit that is going on that we're ranting about today. Sorry. Ooh,
that was amazing.
No, it's correct.
No, that's true, no, that's absolutely true. Yeah. Steve, like, V, anything you want to add? It's so
unfortunate. Man, I jumped in and it was super hot and heavy.
Oh, it was good. It was good. It's honestly, it's needed. Though,
this was really something. It's a passionate conversation, but
I've had this. I was very building up in me all day. So I'm just because, especially also with the Rooster Teeth folks too, that spent 20 years making the best content on the internet, and it just because they couldn't sell them. That, we're shutting the entire thing down except for the podcasting network because that makes money for them.
Do you know how influential Rooster Teeth is to like the entire internet culture, online communities? I call myself Caboose because of Red versus Blue. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I exist, and I am sitting here on this podcast today without Rooster Teeth. And between what they were doing with the Looney Tunes movie, that Coyote versus Acme, Warner Bros. Discovery, man, it's I don't know. I feel like every industry is always like this, and they hide it enough. But WB Discovery is very out in the open. Like, we're just about the money by any means necessary. Yeah. We don't care what you think, and that's really it's frustrating. As a consumer, as somebody who loves some of the franchises that they have in their catalog. I just want a AAA open world Superman game. I want a game for the Flash. I want a game for Green Lantern. Hell, if you're going to do a live service game, at least have it make more sense with something like Justice League, you know, there's so many ideas that I feel like are just being left on the table, in favor for them to say, no, that's not going to make us as much money as the potential of another Suicide Squad.
Yeah, Aaron, imagine what if, you know, you say open world Superman game, what if it is like literally the entire world? You can fly from America to Europe and you could see like the sun sort of like sunset. You can see like night in Europe, but it's day in America, and you're flying across the Atlantic Ocean.
I feel like as a fan that sounds like incredible, but as a developer, I'd be stressed out right now.
I would be so stressed out too. I mean, hey,
I'd be on the phone to the flight.
Just give me smaller. Give me Metropolis. Or,
you know, talk to Hello Games. Apparently, they're going to be doing it with an actual open world game. You know, the creators of No Man's Sky. So we'll see how they do it.
Honestly, I'm so tired too of hearing there's no way it could work. You can't make a Superman game. It's like, listen, if you think that you can't make a Superman game, then I'm sorry, you're thinking way too small. So many. Superman has 100 weaknesses. You can depower him very easily. The SSDs in these new consoles can handle incredible speeds. Look at something like Spider-Man 2, for example. That's almost a Superman game from how fast you can go and the fact that you're literally flying around with the web wings. There's a Superman game could be made tomorrow if it's got the right development team behind it, who has the right idea and the kind of vision that you would hope for.
I'm with Riley. Put him in Microsoft Flight Simulator. Could they already have that Top Gun? They already have that Top Gun plane.
Calm down.
That Top Gun plane goes Mach 10. I was in space at one point with that plane. I'm like, dude, just put Superman in this game.
Give me that.
I mean, I was listening to the soundtrack for like Man of Steel the other day, and it just made me think about like, damn, we like Superman is such a cool character. We don't need to have the gritty dark Superman that people think that we need to have because Batman was is the success for DC. No, you can make a great hopeful Superman show
James Gunn.
James Gunn is literally DC's only hope right now because the DCEU is dead. It's officially dead.
Seriously, I mean this genuinely. The DC brand, is in trouble.
Yes. Oh, 100%. Like, WB has ruined the DC brand for almost 20 years now.
Yeah.
And it's like we've had maybe some great, you know, films. Obviously, we got the Dark Knight trilogy out of it. We got Matt Reeves Superman. We even had technically Man of Steel before we, you know, that got shoehorned into the DCEU. But and we also had some great, you know, WB animated DC films. Yeah. But whenever like WB tries to be able to you know, like make these films, they're doing like you just said before, they're doing it for the money. They see what the success that Marvel had, so they're like, we need a universe too, and they just shoehorned and shortcutted the entire thing. Be like, well, we got a Man of Steel from Zack Snyder. Why don't we get Zack Snyder to make this universe? I'm like, no, that's the wrong decision.
I'm a Snyder apologist, but you
shame.
But for a company that's all about the money, man, the numbers don't lie. Like Shazam, Shazam was even like the start of like dwindling returns at the box office, and that first movie was like praised, loved it, filmed here in Toronto. Even Shazam 2, like I thought it was okay, and then The Flash had this like whole weird marketing thing where like Stephen King is saying that he loves it, and like Tony Hawk is like, this is the greatest thing ever. Like you got like all these random celebrities coming out of nowhere who are like, this is going to be the greatest movie of all time, and then it bombs. Like and it's really, really bad.
I will
and
then never.
PR team though, like Ezra Miller, like there's
I would say as well, like I think WB, like I'll never forgive them for what they did to my favorite Batman. We were going to get three cameos of Michael Keaton as Batman in DC movies. We're gonna get him in The Flash, we were gonna get him in Aquaman 2, and we were gonna get him in a whole ass Batgirl movie, and all we got out of him was literally just The Flash, one of the worst DC movies ever, and that's it. We are never gonna see Michael Keaton as Batman again, and WB ruined that.
But then like again, like look at something like, for instance, Blue Beetle, another game that, or another movie that I like really enjoyed, severely underperforms at the box office. Mm-hmm. The only DCEU movie in the last couple of years that did okay was Aquaman 2. And it was the movie that they almost refused to market, where I honestly think if they decided to spend some money, it probably would have like doubled its box office numbers, or at least crossed.
Is that the one that just recently just came out?
That just came out, but it had like a budget. Here's the thing, it's not going to be as successful like financially because it had like a $212 million budget.
Oh, it was a huge budget.
It only made like $434 million at the box office.
But I think if they spent a bit more on marketing.
Yeah, it's the marketing that basically screwed them over.
Yeah. Point being that like the DC brand right now, after a series of failures, is in a lot of trouble.
Yes.
And then you add on to that, like for as much as I think like Gotham Knights is just like a perfectly fine 7 out of 10 game, people didn't love it. And it may have just barely broken even, according to somebody who works at Warner Brothers, like a listing they put on LinkedIn. It might have made profit, but I can't imagine it was by a large margin. And then obviously now Suicide Squad being another game that was, you know, it underperformed both
372 people playing it right now. Does that, you know,
huge.
But that's so, like after like a year or so, like it's still pretty, it's all right.
When you look at all of those things, like it's like this brand, this is rough. And that's why I say like, save us James Gunn, because that Superman movie, it is not just important for the start of a new DC universe. It's important for the entirety of DC comics.
Yeah.
Like, we need a big win, and I don't know even if it is a big win where we go from there, especially on the game side of things. You know, like what does the future hold besides how do we make as much money as possible? How many live service games can we churn out right now? You know,
one of the one of the big things, James, because he's the head of all of DC.
Yeah,
like they're the co-head, I believe.
DC Studios.
DC Studios. Yeah, yeah.
He's like one of his big claims to fame, or one of the things he wanted was he wanted the actors to portray themselves in animated series and video games.
Yep.
So
yep,
I'm curious to see how that transitions, because like we've seen. This had nothing to do with him, but it might have. Peacemaker and Mortal Kombat 1 just arrived. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like we're seeing his universe start to come over to the games in a meaningful way. So I hope that that's something we'll continue to see. And with multiverses apparently like on the cusp of returning now,
it's making its comeback.
More of that as well. Like,
I think that in order for DC to basically to potentially have regain sort of its impact again, I honestly think, and I've been saying, like I've been thinking about this for years now, I honestly think that they need to get away from WB. WB needs to cut their losses and just like and DC needs to go out on its own, like Marvel did. Marvel, when they started out, they had partnerships with like Paramount, Universal, Disney. Like they were trying to build out a studio. So eventually they were able to get their rights back to basically to have everything in house. And then, you know, obviously Disney bought them but they became an independent studio, moving away from the publishers that they had. WB has basically they've held on to the DC license since the 70s, and in order for them to be able to succeed or to be able to actually create the stories that fans and creators at DC want to make, they need to not be under Warner Brothers anymore. And
I just don't see it happening.
It's a cash cow.
It's a $1 billion movie every single time they make one.
Batman, that's true.
In particular, yeah. It's like they'll never get, and those are really good films, to be honest. But I think they do a good job there. And I'm hopeful with James Gunn, and I'm hopeful for the gaming side of that as well.
Yeah, like Wonder Woman's also going to be another really, really important project that needs to succeed and do big numbers in terms of sales and in terms of, you know, the critical reception to it as well. And I just hope, for as much as I don't think this is going to happen, I just hope that if it does do well, that WB finally takes a freaking hint and is like, people want more of that. Yes. Oh, whoops.
I will also say this, and David Zaslav, if you're listening to this, if you're watching this,
and we know he is.
If WB, send
this to him right after we're done.
If you come for the World Wrestling Federation, if you come for the WWE and ruin that too, I will never forgive you. So, you do not touch WWE because it's so good right now.
Are they trying to buy Embracer?
They're ruining entertainment everywhere, and then people are like, someone in my comments basically said like, not wrestling. I'm like, okay, yeah, the entertainment's pretty good with wrestling right now.
Don't jinx it.
Don't bring it to the same universe.
They were gonna offload WB and Paramount, right? They were gonna combine.
Paramount's no longer looking to sell.
It
sounds like that's not happening now. But before that, it was NBC trying to merge with EA.
There's tons of rumors as well that the whole reason why Zaslav was getting people like Tom Cruise, and they got Margot Robbie, and they they're trying to pad their stats. Yeah. So, and yeah. I wouldn't put it past him, man. Like that dude, in the beginning, some people were like, this could be like good. They might start doing some different things. WB, they've been on like a really shaky path. But it's just gotten a whole lot worse in a very short amount of time for the preservation of our entertainment.
Who do you think could buy Warner Brothers?
I have no idea.
Amazon.
I know Amazon
probably.
Disney or Amazon or Apple.
Apple was going to acquire Disney. There was rumors of that. But yeah, I mean, Netflix could be. I mean, people, the Snyder fans want WB to be acquired by Netflix real bad.
Well, it's funny. It's funny because like Netflix is actually bigger than Disney. Like it's valued higher than Disney.
Yeah. Technically, yeah. As far as like streaming, for sure.
Stat. Like just the value of the companies higher than Disney. Like that's crazy. So it's like,
I just,
those things, like Netflix is a viable contender. They're snatching up rights to live action stuff like Monday Night. Like all the WWE events in Canada are going to go right through Netflix.
That's true.
It's unfortunate though.
Starting to progress pretty quickly.
It's unfortunate to even have this conversation though, because like you don't want there to be essentially like three conglomerates that own everything. No. You know, like I would love for it to be that like Marvel Studios is still its own thing and Disney is still its own thing and Star Wars is still its own thing and WB is doing its own thing. Discovery is still making documentaries about animals, you know, like I would love if all those things could be their own individual things. But now because of the streaming world and because of just the way that things are progressing entertainment wise, it's just everything's got to be packed into one place. And to be honest, that's part of my fear for James Gunn's plan, because like, sure, the idea of this Superman played by what's his name, who I can't remember, Corn Sweat, I can't remember his first name. That Superman from his movie is maybe going to be popping up in a game. But games don't take 2 years. Like you don't write up a draft. You know, get a couple green screens together and then, you know,
you got yourself a game.
And then start like forcing visual effects artists to work 18-hour days. Yeah. You don't, like, games take like 5 years to make in some instances. So like how do you make those crossovers work? And then how do you make it work in a way that could excite people? Because what if people don't like Superman? Are they gonna care that 3 years from now they had this game they were working on that Superman pops up in? You know, what if they don't like freaking Swamp Thing? Are they going to care if they made the tie-in Swamp Thing game later down the line? Like I don't know how they make these things work in a way that's cohesive enough or in a way that like draws in more of an audience. This whole thing sucks. Please just make more single player games. They're great. People love them. Spider-Man 2 is the fastest selling PlayStation exclusive. It sold over 10 million copies. The franchise is entirely single player games. It sold over 50 million copies. WB, you have assets, you have IPs that are nearly as big as Spider-Man that you could be getting the same level of success with if you were to invest into it. Just court Rocksteady right now to make another Batman Arkham trilogy. I promise you, it will not be volatile. It will make money.
Or, you know, if you're into the short influx of cash right now, just talk to Avalanche and get yourself a DLC of Hogwarts Legacy. That will sell,
right?
Sell amazingly well.
I don't know why they haven't done that.
I know.
The easiest avenue for revenue for them. Like the way that it's structured right now always surprises me, because I feel like there are these obvious decisions that should have been made. Now that being said, they are launching, I know it was mentioned already, their live service Quidditch game.
Yeah,
which is actually pretty fun by all reports. So I'm down for that. Like those sorts of experiments and stuff like that, maybe being rolled into or alongside a Hogwarts is like a Warzone like experience alongside core, you know, Hogwarts Legacy expansions and stuff like that. That makes a lot of sense to me. I don't know why you wouldn't do something like that. So when Warner Brothers is talking about like investing in those types of initiatives, I mean, like the honest truth is all of these companies are investing in similar initiatives right now,
yeah,
to some extent. So they're doubling down, investing more money, and hopefully expanding on the good stuff they are making and putting out there and seeing huge returns on, like Hogwarts Legacy. So I hope we get a real sequel to that, maybe some DLC for the current game, and then they can keep coasting on the Quidditch stuff and really build that out.
I know they're teasing that they got like an update coming for Hogwarts Legacy. I don't know how substantial it's planned to be. Like, I'm hoping that we get things like photo mode or whatever. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Why don't we get a DLC expansion similar to what Horizon Forbidden West has done? Or even like God of War Ragnarok recently just launched the Valhalla DLC that brought a lot of people back in.
Yep.
I imagine too that if they made that like a $20 DLC you had to pay for, a ton of people would have bought it. Now, awesome. It's cool. Sony Santa Monica didn't want to sell it to us. I'm not saying they should have. But if WB really wants to make their games live service, why not just do like pseudo live services? Release these single player games, see what the level of success is there, see if there's any more money that you can invest into and be like, you know what? We want you guys to work on an expansion for this game,
or like, even experiment with what they're doing. With apparently they're teasing multiverses coming back.
Yes. Like, I mean, yeah, like maybe, I said, they have potential live services that are coming up that make sense. Those should be the one. Like, pump your money into that so that you can get as much money out of it. But don't make everything unnecessarily into a live service. It just has to make sense. That's all we're asking for here. You know, I'm not anti live service games. I want my live service games to make sense.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, yeah. Look at Arkham Knight.
I think that's all anyone wants. It's like common sense decision making.
Yep.
100%. Just make it make sense. And sorry,
that's asking too much, guys.
I think it's also worth pointing out that, like, you can't keep forcing your way into the live service battle that's going on right now. Yeah. I think the perfect example is Helldivers, right? No one, even me, someone who loved the original Helldivers, was on this show how many weeks being like, Helldivers is coming out. It's going to be awesome. No one saw that game blowing up the way it did.
Nobody.
And I'm sorry, but, like, I just have no faith in, like, PlayStation executives or WB executives being like, we can do this, we can replicate. It's like, no, you can't. No one has the crystal ball to be like, hey, we're gonna organically create what's going to be the next viral sensation. That just happens because of the community, not because of
was viral. Like, that was not an expected success by any measure. And now it's one of the biggest games on the planet. Like, totally right, Steve.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, again, I was pointing out too, like, Batman Arkham Knight, little $40 season pass, tons of skins, a whole, like, villain expansion towards the end of it too. Like, there's a ton of value in that. And that's, by all accounts, live service, you know, like, sure.
It's a simple version of it, but you're right. It's essentially live service.
Right. And I feel like, again, there's a formula there that could really work, where you can make your cake and have it too. Make everybody happy by releasing a single player game that's got a ton of love and passion put into it, and then say, hey, you know, we got some DLC on the way that you're going to have to pay for. You know, like, I don't think anybody's batting an eye if Wonder Woman comes out and is a great game, and then a year after it comes out, they're saying, hey, here's a $30 expansion with new villains, like a new 3-4 hour story, new cutscenes, all that. You know?
That'd be great.
Absolutely. It's, you know, like, I look at help to see, like, Wonder Woman in the style of God of War as well, because it just fits that style of world as
that
well.
That would be very, you know, cool. So, like, a very tight narrative.
Yeah. I mean, I still say this game, like, still say to this day that Assassin's Creed Odyssey was the best Wonder Woman game we never had. I would love to be able to be proven wrong with this Wonder Woman game. I want to play that game so bad. I hope it does well.
I have a ton of faith in it just because it's Monolith. I love the Shadow of Mordor and Shadow of War games.
Yep.
They're implementing the Nemesis Matrix system. Online,
my favorite game of all time.
There you go. They're implementing the Nemesis system, which could work so well with the DC universe, man. There's so many different villains you could pull from. I really hope. I'm crossing my fingers hard for that game.
Oh, that'd be dope.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy. Steve, what did you think of the Xbox show?
I thought it was fine. Like, I was, you know, talking to you guys in the chat prior. I thought there were really cool announcements being made. The Sinking City 2 was a standout for me, just because I adored the original. That game holds, like, a special place in my heart. It was actually one of the first games where the publisher reached out to me, like, unprompted, and was like, do you want to review this game? And I was like, shut up, really? And I was like, fell in love with the game, and I was like, okay, I'm in it now. So that one was a standout. I think that The Altars is another really cool game. It's almost like if you took Fallout Shelter and just made it, like, a big expansive game with, like, its own, like, visual style. I really vibe with that. But overall, I think the games were good. The content there was good. I think that it was just, it lacked any kind of personality, spirit, life to it. I think that having the voiceover interstitials just fell flat for me, where It just didn't, coming off of the developer direct, where it's like, hey, let's sit down and hear from the developers, hear from the creators, get these intimate stories, and then to go to this where it's like, here are a bunch of games that you may know of, may not know of, on to the next. It's like, there's such a lack of presentation with this one. But as far as just the trailers themselves, I was like, oh, there are really cool games here, but the 30-minute presentation as a whole, I was like, I wish there was a better way of like orchestrating this, just from a production standpoint. But yeah, I thought it was great. Overall, it was just the few things that I think Xbox could do, could reevaluate for the next time.
Awesome, awesome. Are you planning buying a ultra wide monitor for Ghost of Tsushima director's cut finally coming on PC May 16th.
Oh my god, there we go. Downloading the CJ mod the day that drops on PC. Dude, I've been waiting so long for Ghost of Tsushima to come to PC. One of my favorite games of all time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys are playing, but I'm down to jump into some multiplayer. I'm down to jump into do some raids because they have raids. See, another example of a single player game that lets it ride, you know, let it rip. Everyone enjoyed the hell out of it. It sold like crazy. And then they were like, oh yeah, by the way, here's a multiplayer mode. Oh yeah, and also we have raids and tons of additional content. Oh yeah, and here's a director's cut with a whole new island you can go to. That's one of the best DLCs I've ever played. The story in that expansion is incredible. Incredible.
Yep. Agreed.
So hyped for it to come to PC.
This game's gonna look crazy. I can't even imagine. Like it looked crazy on PlayStation already, and I can imagine, like, especially with people who dive in with mods as well, like it's already the whole black and white mode.
Here's actually a fun accessibility fact for y'all. Do you know that game is 100% playable by those who are colorblind?
That's dope.
That's crazy.
It's because of Kurosawa mode.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
Because they wanted to be able to make it everything black and white. They had to they had to sort of change a little bit of the UI to make sure that there was no nothing that was sort of designed with color in mind. So that's why there's a bunch of different logos and symbols on pretty much everything so that, you know, it's still playable on Kurosawa mode. So,
and it also just looks freaking incredible.
Oh my god, yeah, right. Oh. Man, like, it's just apparently good. Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong though. So they mentioned in the trailer that it's Japanese voice acted. Did it not have that in the original?
Okay, so it did have Japanese voice acting in the original. What it was missing was the lip syncing, which was a huge issue.
Okay, got it.
Up until the director's cut. The director's cut was when they added the actual Japanese like lip syncing with the voice acting.
Gotcha.
And I played the DLC entirely in Japanese, and it's just, oh, you know, like it just gets you so freaking amped.
I played it in English, but it was so good. Like, I mean,
it's incredible.
I actually I have yet to be able to finish the actual game. I've been meaning to, but, you know, Steve, I kept getting distracted. I know it's one of those things I'm going to get back to. But when the director's cut came out, I actually played the entire DLC of that, and I loved every second of it. So
good. Steve, the like last section of the main story is,
I know, I need to get to, I know,
get to, I know, man. Oh, well, I know. It's coming to PC now. It's coming to PC.
Yep,
and I mean, aren't there rumors too? I think the same person who was potentially like, who had leaked, I guess, that this was happening was saying we might get like a direct or something later this year. I mean, I know summertime is usually the time where we get a lot of the big reveals,
we'll do May or June is usually
May last like year that. Is when they did the big one, right?
So usually when they do, they usually like to go before or after Xbox.
Right. Usually like around E3,
quote unquote.
E3, they were notorious for doing it right after Xbox, so they were able to pivot some of their plans
same day,
which was really interesting. We saw that with some of the pricing of the products they did for PS4. During the Xbox One era,
right.
So that was really interesting. So, I think probably May, June is when they would do something like that. And when they do it, I hope that we see, you know, we know that maybe some of the core first party franchises aren't coming this year, but that doesn't mean you can't talk about what's coming next year. So, you know, there's a lot that I think they need to talk about after their reorg, and it sounds like they've had to cancel another live service game that might have been a Twisted Metal. You know, like, I'm looking forward to seeing what they have. But they PlayStation's been knocking it out of the park in the first quarter of 2024. Helldivers, Rise of Ronin's coming up, Final Fantasy they've locked down. Like, they've been on a roll. Yep. So
even if they don't have, like, some of their first party studios haven't really, we haven't heard anything about as of late. Like, but, you know, you're right. I think PlayStation is killing it as far as like their third party partnerships and even their second party partnerships too, and and then stuff like this, like you know what, hey Riley, you know what this means, you know what this means,
what's it mean,
potential Spider-Man 2 PC. I'm just really? It's close.
It's happening.
It could happen.
I mentioned it's coming this summer. It's gonna happen
this summer, you said?
No, I said by 2024.
Holiday, I feel like holiday, maybe
holiday sounds right, you know. Hey, well, I will gladly eat my words.
You will. What was best ongoing game in December, Steve?
Oh God.
Fucking A, man.
What was it?
Oh boy.
You know, the Game Awards had other issues. Do you really want to focus in on that?
You're right.
Wait, is MLB, I just started thinking, I know how everyone wants Xbox games to come on PlayStation and everything, but is MLB the Show the only PlayStation game on Xbox?
Yes, I think so.
Was Crash Bandicoot a PlayStation exclusive at one point back in the day?
It was so bad. Initially, it was made by Naughty Dog, and then Spyro was made by Insomniac Games, but Sony never owned the IP, and they were both owned by Vivendi, which was a Universal's game studio department.
Okay.
Activision eventually bought them, and then they became an Activision IP, and now Microsoft owns.
Gotcha. Yep. Gotcha. Okay.
But Sony had the exclusivity contract. I know all about this stuff because I'm a rights nerd, but Sony had the exclusivity contract for, I think it was three or four, I think it was four Crash Bandicoot games. So they got the original trilogy and then the Crash Bash, which was their party game.
Right.
Yeah.
And Nitro Kart as well. So
That's right. Yeah.
Well, Sammy, your lovely Baldur's Gate had to double up on what Final Fantasy did, because they're coming up with four discs for Xbox for Baldur's Gate.
Yep.
That's great. Four.
It's a big old game. Like, if you want some physical copies, we're limited to the space and like the discs that we have available, right?
Damn. So.
I love that. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is two discs as well.
Two discs,
I mean, like, I love that stuff.
200 gigs.
If you want this physical medium, like, it just comes with 100 discs, like it did when we were kids. Like Final Fantasy, the original Final Fantasy was three or four discs.
Yeah. I always thought it was two, wasn't it? Like, Final Fantasy VII was two discs.
That case was thick. Like, it was like turning pages on the book. Yeah. Riley,
now that thick boy turned into three games.
Yeah, here you go. Yeah.
So far, what, four discs, three discs now?
Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Three discs, in total. Yeah.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy VII Remake was two discs as well on PS4.
Was it two discs? Oh, okay. So, yeah,
and it was three discs. Games. And the PS1 game was three discs back in 1997.
So basically, tripled the. It's going to triple by the end of by the time it's done.
The next one will be like three or four discs. Whatever the next.
We've included Integrate, and then Ever Crisis in there too. It's just
holy smokes.
Looks nice on a shelf, though. Probably.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Riley, what's going on for Mario Day? Because it's on Sunday. What's Mario doing?
I don't know, man. Ask Nintendo. How would I know that? what do we know so far? We know that
nothing. That's the thing.
I think Lego confirmed that they'll have some announcements, which is exciting.
Cool.
Maybe they'll have some software sales and stuff like that. But I don't know. I don't know what they're gonna do. We're expecting Luigi's Mansion 2 HD and Paper Mario: The Thousand Year Door. So those seem like possible candidates to maybe get some release date information or a trailer.
There's a gift card promotion with console purchases. You know,
there's
exciting.
Get some Nintendo vouchers, you know?
Yeah. So, I think probably stuff like that. I would love to see something along the lines of a teaser for the next movie or something like that. But with word that maybe the Switch successor was delayed, I don't know if I have much to really talk about this year anyway.
Just bring back, we already know, for 1 week, Mario 35. That's all I want.
Just one week.
I don't know why they even took it away. It's literally you're racing, you're playing Mario, but you're racing against other people. Battle Royale Mario. It was the best thing ever. And they're like, you're having too much fun. We're taking it away off the server. So like, what do you mean I'm having too much fun?
That was a really fun game.
Right? Like, it is so good.
It is a bummer. It is a bummer that
it's literally a whole entire Mario game. You're racing against other people, and whoever dies, they're out.
Nintendo went through a phase of doing stuff like the Super Mario 3D All-Stars collection was available for a limited amount of time, and then they yanked it down, so you can't play Galaxy or Sunshine on the console anymore.
I still have that wrapped
Mario 35.
Yeah, you can't buy it, but you can still play it if you have it.
Like, you can still play it, yeah. If you have it wrapped, Steve.
I don't think I've ever actually opened it up.
Never.
There were so many of them available. That's worth
so much money.
Okay.
If you try to buy it online, it's like $150-$200 right now, and that'll only go up.
There were endless copies. I remember.
There were a lot because they printed a bunch with the intent of selling it throughout the year, I think, and then now all the hobbyists have it, and they're like, well, if you want it, it's
$200.
$400.
There you go.
Never open it.
Still in plastic.
Yeah, never open it. Never let it go.
Wow.
Promise me.
I bought it because I was like, you know what? I kind of want to play it at some point, but maybe now I should keep it.
Frame it. Yeah.
Now you can never play it.
I dare you.
You can never play it.
Oh, fuck yeah. Now I'm kind of screwed.
You're screwed.
Which, by the way, also, just saying back to what we were saying earlier, it says on the box, listen to 175 total tracks in music player mode.
They do. They have a full music mode.
Look at that. No expansion pass needed.
It makes sense with the Switch. Smash Brothers does the same thing, but makes sense with the Switch because it's portable.
Yeah.
Now, it's not that portable, but it's portable enough that it kind of makes sense. You can listen
no
to
wave one, wave two foolishness of being like, here you
they're
go. Give
you,
us,
yeah, yeah. They're not selling you soundtrack DLC.
Exactly.
Yeah. The weebs will buy it. You just got to follow whatever the weebs will do.
Or try to be able to hack Yuzu's servers to try to be able to get it back.
Oh yeah,
$2.4 million court case, and Yuzu and New Zoo and whoever other zoo is all out. They're all gone.
They had the right idea.
Yeah, Yuzu and
the right idea of emulating 3DS games because no one, you know, you couldn't buy a 3DS anymore. They weren't developing 3DS games. Their biggest mistake was being like, you know what? Let's emulate Switch games too.
Yeah,
like, that's good. Well, like,
when they released Zelda first, they were like, I'm like, you just screwed up.
They advertised it on their official Discord that you could play. Those games, and then they also were like, and if you wanna, you can donate to our Patreon.
They paywalled it. Yeah,
you did it to yourselves at that point.
Nintendo
making money off of
Nintendo
it.
Nintendo literally went in their Discord and be like, yep, taking note of this and that, and then with the court case, so like, there's all our exhibits.
All of it.
Yeah,
look through the legal filings. Like, I mean, That happened in what? When did Tears of the Kingdom come out? Like May, June?
Yep.
May, I think. And the court case just kind of came out in the last week or so.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm kind of interested to see if anything comes of Pal World, if that is a similar sort of
thing,
because it took a while. So, I guess we'll see what happens.
I don't think they have a case on Pal World, to be honest.
No.
I don't think so either, but you never know.
But then also, technically, it's not really Nintendo. It's more, you know, Pokemon Company that would have to kind of, I guess, do the lawsuit, right?
Yeah. It would be the Pokemon Company, and then Nintendo would be a third of the ownership behind
it. Yeah, probably.
See that through.
Yeah.
What is Palworld's number right now? Hold on. No one's talking about it because, you know, Helldivers is taking over the world right now. Okay,
listen, I'm still playing it, but I was on vacation for a week, like right after it released. So
you have no
still
time. You're working until midnight. You have no time for
Power. Power World currently has 66,000 players right now.
Damn. All right.
It's in the top. It's the 12th most. Let me see what the current top play game right now.
12th dead game. that game.
It's 12th. Yeah, it's about 12th. Yeah. Although I was just saying, Helldivers 2 is still number 3 at 270,000 players right now.
Holy. That, and the sales have grown every week it's been out.
Yeah. Which is like, didn't they just add something in to do like weather storm or fires, like a fire tornado? They just added
fire tornadoes and like
meteor showers. Meteorites.
Yeah. No, I'm ready for mechs. I'm ready to
it's going to be so good.
Dude.
Oh, hell yeah.
I can't wait to I feel like that, like the way that they're handling that, they're starting to roll out content at a clip, which is kind of funny considering that Halo Infinite couldn't even keep the pace that they're out at. You know, like, and that was a full ass team. This was not like a smaller studio doing.
Yeah.
So,
but this is like, what you need to do with a live service game. You gotta have stuff at the ready, like very soon after launch, because like even if this got, if it was like a 50,000 concurrent player on Steam sort of thing, rolling out updates this frequently, you just draw more people in, you get more people excited to want to play again. Like, it's already got such a great gameplay loop. To the point where it's just like, it doesn't matter if it was stuck as it is for like a month, I probably would still just be jumping in constantly. Yeah. And honestly, as well, a very forgiving battle pass system. I haven't spent a dime on any of the microtransactions. I've been able to get some suits from like their actual like in-game shop. Mm-hmm. And when I do spend my real money on any of their microtransactions, there isn't a single thing, as far as I'm aware, that cost me $100.
No. You know what the coolest part is too? Like, you use super credits that you use your real world money to purchase super credits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in the past, that it's available right from the get go. You can just get the super credits, or you can go into a mission and find them.
Yeah you can literally just, find super credits
and buy the Skilled Veterans like premium pass with those. So you never have to spend a dime. You just have to play the game.
Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. What it's great about what they're doing with this, because it's like, it's a small team, so they're trying, like, you know. They knew what they were going to be creating. So they, like, obviously they have, like, you know, a microtransaction store, like, essentially. But I love the fact that they basically, you know, they started out, you know, small. They have like, okay, here's the stuff we have in the store. Here's two here's two battle passes that basically you can kind of choose, either premium or, you know, the basic kind of battle pass that everyone kind of gets. And like, you can I just love the fact also as well that they got a game master that's basically like tweaking the game at,
so
like,
cool.
At like live. And I'm like, so I cool. want that job. Like, give me that job. Like, that would be amazing.
The game master was dropping like the mechs into random matches. Like, they're not even available yet. He just like would like airdrop the mechs in for people.
What?
And, yep.
That's crazy.
Like Warthogs from Halo and stuff, wow. like their own Warthog vehicle.
No, that is insane.
That is so damn cool. I love that. I want that job. But yeah, I just think it's like that.
It was so funny because I was going through it, and I was just seeing like TikToks randomly of like people jumping in, getting the mechs, and I was like, how are some people like modding this game? Yeah, but then it turned out no, it was just the game master doing all of this like awesome. Behind the scenes, and I think just that's so goddamn brilliant.
So cool.
Yeah I think they have amazing momentum right now. My only concern in this current moment is like how much momentum they can keep up with, because like ever since the game launched, we all knew, hey, mechs are coming, that's going to be the big thing. Vehicles, I know, like the weather stuff was an interesting kind surprise, but it's like, what's next? What's the next big thing that we can all look forward to? Because I know we've talked about ad nauseum of like what kind of crossovers can they do?
Yeah.
What kind of like seasonal updates can they put in there that will make it like really fun and everything? But it's like, yeah, like what's the next big expansion that's like, oh, everyone's logging in for this?
Yeah. That's a game that, going back to what we were talking about WB, like that is a game that it was designed around a concept of squad-based combat, and then they added on and integrated a live service into that. That is something that like they didn't have the live service idea first. They basically had the game idea first, and then it just integrated it as basically as seamless as possible. And that's when, like, those are the kind of games that, like, yes, I will gladly spend money on, and I would gladly basically to spend money in the store to, you know, promote democracy across the entire super earth. So that's what I want to do. And that's the thing that we need to keep promoting. And that's why I love games like this. this, like, it, like, it's, it takes everyone by surprise. Everyone loves it, and it's made by like a small team that definitely deserve all the kudos that they've been getting. And I'm gonna say this: it is gonna be in the running for me as my game of the year. 1,000%
Right there, it's my game of the year right now. Yeah, 100%
Not Suicide Squad.
I'm sorry, what?
I don't know why I thought Suicide Squad came out last year for some reason. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a second. This can never come out to Xbox, I guess, unless PlayStation okays this, right? I guess.
Well, yeah, it won't until PlayStation.
Yes.
Because, I mean, it's owned by Sony. So, yeah. I mean, it just won't. Okay.
It's not happening.
It just won't until it. You know, until it.
I mean, considering its success too, like PlayStation's like, no, you are not getting this. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, if WB wants some money, we can help them out here, okay? And they want to, you know, ride on a little success here. Why don't you just bring some Pacific Rim to this game? You know, there's Mech Pacific Rim.
That's a pretty cool idea.
Oh my god, yeah.
It's really just endless possibilities. I like how Fortnite has put us in a position where we're like, what franchises could we shoehorn into this bad boy?
Yeah. That's like, right. That's why I brought up Xbox. I'm like, can we get Halo?
This Halo's set armor. For this,
you know? So.
Oh, imagine Kaiju Halo battles and Helldivers 2. Right? Oh my god.
I feel like you gotta, like, the monsters have to get bigger now.
Oh yeah,
they are pretty big.
Stuff, you gotta get them bigger. You gotta go way. You gotta have like mountain-sized bugs and stuff. Like, and then you have like two different four-person teams coming in to try to like take this thing out. Like, you can this. It's
like Torf Wars and stuff like that.
Imagine they could put Godzilla in there.
They totally could. They could do a Godzilla, no problem.
That'd be dope as hell.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Sweet.
Oh my god.
Well, they got Godzilla Kong crossover in Warzone.
True. So,
yeah. Are they doing it again for the new one?
They have Kong armor that they've shown so far, but it's for Godzilla and Kong. I'm assuming.
Right.
I'm assuming something's happening at some
point. Right.
Yeah. Well, with that being said, Caboose, what is going on for you this week?
New game plus for Marvel Spider-Man 2 dropping. I don't know when we're releasing the episode, but it's dropping March 7th. It'll probably be out by the time people are watching and listening. There's going to be like a slew of new content added to the game as well, in terms of like new suits, quality of life updates, and the works. So that's really exciting. I'm looking forward to that. And then, I mean, after that, I'm just counting down until Ghost of Tsushima on PC.
Yeah.
Got a couple months, but I'm right there with months. You.
Yeah. Wait, has crossplay come out for Mortal Kombat yet?
Yes, it is out.
Okay.
TOs like myself, we run some tournaments where we're waiting for crossplay to be added to King of the Hill.
Okay,
that's they did promise that's coming at a later date though, so which is really, really exciting for like people who organize like online tournaments and stuff. Hopefully, like if the servers can handle it and things run smoothly, then that's like that's really gonna open up a lot of doors for people like myself and my co-host who run tournaments for Mortal Kombat 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mortal Kombat big competition coming here in Toronto as well. I think it's being held at Toronto Metropolitan University. So
yeah, Final Combat first of a kind, coming to Toronto, which is really, really exciting. I'm doing my best to get on the commentator's desk for it.
We will start the campaign right now, you know.
thanks.
in Caboose we trust, you know. So.
Let Caboose host.
Yeah, exactly. Let him host. Yeah, exactly. He'll sign up everywhere. Let him host. You know? Yeah. Sammy, how about yourself?
I think I'm finally gonna finish my first Baldur's Gate run. Like I'm
I cannot believe the this is very happening. What? End. How you just dropped that like that, just nonchalant.
Wow.
I'm finally there. It's been like 3 years technically, but I'm almost there. So I'm hoping between work and stuff I'll be able to do that sometime this week.
All right. Well, best of luck with that. Steve Saylor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've got still keeping the Gaming Insight podcast going. Actually, I can be able to say that the episode coming out on Friday will be all about the WB live service news, and we'll be talking about that with special guest Paris Lilly.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you know, all star cast already. Nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then also keep an eye out for Dungeons and Disabled, new TTRP or Dungeons and Disabled, or sorry, Dungeons and Dragons show. That you can actually be able to go to dndisabled.com or follow dndisabled on Twitter. And
that merch is available too already, right?
Which, sorry?
The merch is
the merch.
Merch is not available yet. I got I got samples. I've got samples of merch already, and I've been testing it out a few things.
Very good.
Look really good. Yeah.
Merch looks very
awesome.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited. So we'll see when that hopefully that I'm afraid to launch it before the actual show launches because I'd be afraid that people will buy it and be like, this show sucks. Why did I buy this? But I don't know. We'll see.
It's gonna be awesome.
It's gonna be great. It's gonna be a good thing.
I hope so.
Steve V.
Yeah, I'm all consumed by Final Fantasy Rebirth right now. That's all I'm doing right now. Like in my spare time when I'm not working, is just trying to get through this game. Just so one, I don't have anything spoiled for me, and two, it's just a really enthralling experience right now, and it's beautiful on the PlayStation 5. Like one of the most gorgeous games I think I've ever played. Period. So it's calling me every single time I go and I have like a moment. So I'm like, I gotta commit to the full playthrough before I move on to anything else.
Is that why you relate?
Yes, it was.
No. a really cool thing. Yeah, just sorry guys, like I couldn't make it. Why?
He was busy. He was busy jamming. I saw you playing music there, freestyling music and everything. I saw you there. I know, Riley, how about yourself? Birthday boy.
Yeah, it's my birthday. So I'm going to go out with my fiance and grab some dinner. Mm-hmm. To Camille, yes, I do have a fiance. I am engaged.
Wow.
We're going to do that.
I love it.
And I'm playing through Final Fantasy VII Remake. So I'm just trying to finish that so I can get into Rebirth, which Steve is well into ahead of me. And then
are you gonna play Intergrade or Intermission, whatever it's called?
I'll do that. I may as well.
You may as well. So
I'll clear that, and then I'll hop into Rebirth. But it sounds like I know you can watch the recap at the beginning of Rebirth, but it sounds like you don't get enough from it to like you want to replay.
No, far God, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It doesn't take. Like, it doesn't not that long.
I put myself in the position of like where. I tried to put myself in the position of like, could someone jump into this without having any prior knowledge or like a base level knowledge or even just watch that recap? Yeah. And I swear within like the first half an hour, they're bringing stuff up where I was like, people would be lost if they didn't commit to like the full game.
Yeah. Okay.
In the early hours, I was like, oh, maybe you could just skip intermission. But then people are telling me that it really ties in like the latter half of the game, which I haven't gone to yet. So I guess, yeah, that's a good call to play it all through, Riley, before you jump over to Rebirth.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I owe Square that before I get into it. So I'm pretty excited.
But wait, did you play Crisis Core?
No, I didn't play. Oh, do I need to play Crisis Core? I know about it, but like, do I need to play Crisis Core? Steve, what do you think? Do it.
I mean, you're ready.
I haven't played it, so I don't know.
Okay, like, so you're doing fine.
But he doesn't know what he's missing.
Yeah.
Well, I know
exactly. I have no idea. Like, I'm like, oh, Zach's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Zach. I kind of get that. So that I mean, like, we'll see. I don't know. Probably won't play Crisis Core though.
All right, fair enough. As for me, I'm busy. I've been reviewing just stuff, so I'm like just coasting around, you know, waiting for some other games and everything. But I was playing around with the Logitech Cloud, actually, which is a really well-made device. Ooh. I must say. So if you're not looking to get into like the powerhouses out there, and like if you want a good battery life, this like I haven't charged this thing yet, and it's been played it for 2 days now. Like it lasts like 12 hours and everything. So.
The only thing I wish that had was a better integration for the PS Remote Play app, because it's touchscreen only right now. And
There's a way around that, actually.
There is a way. But it like I've tried it and it kind of it's finicky and it has a bit of like adds a bit of delay or lag. But I mean, yeah, it's a solid Steam Remote Play device, mm-hmm. a solid Game Pass device. Like, yeah. And yeah. I like it a lot, too.
Especially if you have your Xbox and just connect to it directly. It's like mm-hmm. I honestly just feel like I'm just like it was like 1-to-1. I will say, or like just very close, but solid device if you're looking to grab something like that. If you don't care about if you're on the go, and if you do have a million devices, you can connect it to the Rogue Ally and then play Steam games off of that, and just keep that plugged in if you want. If you just want to go absolutely nerd like level of like 40 chess. If you want to play some 40 chess and everything, okay, you can do that.
Explain this to me. So you're connecting the cloud to the ROG Ally.
Yeah, so what
else? Is the ROG Ally connected to your PC playing Steam, or is the ROG Ally your Steam machine?
So where when I was recording and reviewing it, I tested the ROG Ally as well. I didn't have access to my computer there, but you know, like you just download Steam. So I was like, oh, let me just buy. So I couldn't test out the Steam link that's the cloud has. So I just connected that to the ROG Ally because it's basically a computer. And I was playing and I was playing Steam off of that. So I left that plugged in. I was just playing, like, I got a better battery life off of that. Just playing.
See, I thought it was a three-way connect. Like, you're connecting from like the cloud to the Ally.
I wasn't that extreme. No. All that to play, you know, grocery simulator. No, I wasn't doing that. No. So
I love my Ally. It's I think I'm probably gonna take that with me when I go to PAX because I just love that thing so much.
There you go. And we'll see all of you next week here. Thank you so much for listening and have yourself a good one.